Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take the information you provide and really try to get to the heart of it for you.
Exactly. Making complex stuff hopefully a bit clearer, maybe finding those aha moments.
Today, our Deep Dive is for the learner. We're looking into a series of communications, emails mostly, about potential data breaches and what looks like an employment dispute that followed.
Yeah, the sources are quite specific. There's a signed form, some emails about what's called a Vermittler registration. That's like a financial intermediary in Germany.
Right.
And then other messages detailing worries about data handling, which seem to lead up to a dismissal.
So our mission, if you like, is to unpack these documents, figure out the main issues, the key points, and maybe think about the broader implications, you know, for data security professional behavior.
Okay, so starting with those data breach concerns, what really stands out first is this signed form.
Mm-hmm.
It seems Philipp Krumm from Ergo Beratung und Vertrieb AG, that's an Ergo sales division, sent it unencrypted by email.
Unencrypted? Wow.
Yeah.
And it had personal details for someone else, right? Depot number 324-237-6600.
Yes, exactly. And the crucial thing here, according to the information we have, is that this wasn't just once. It happened at least four times.
Four times. Okay, so that definitely suggests a pattern, not just a slip-up.
Precisely. And it didn't stop there, did it? There were also emails concerning the registration of another intermediary, Verena Kemna.
Ah, yes. Depot 329-67-3410.
Also sent by the same person, Philipp Krumm, to an address at Fonds Depot's bank.
And wasn't there an attachment issue too? Like an image file?
That's right. img1206.jpg mm-hmm. attached to one of the emails. And, you know, who knows what sensitive data might have been in that image? It adds another layer of potential exposure.
So the listener we're calling the learner saw these repeated issues. What did they do?
Well, they apparently informed the bank involved, FNZ Fonds Depot Bank, which it seems is now called Deutsche Haftungsdach GmbH.
Okay.
They told them about these recurring breaches, but the concerning part is the allegation that the bank, well, didn't really do much.
Action taken.
Or at least allegedly didn't share this critical information with their business partner, Ergo. The names mentioned here are Hern Locks and Hern Zoller, who were apparently management at the time.
So potential breach is happening, the bank is told, but maybe doesn't escalate it properly. That raises flags about internal controls, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And interestingly, the listener's initial focus wasn't even on reporting Ergo itself or other partners like Allianz or Swiss Life.
Oh.
No, the main concern seems to have been directed at FNZ Bank's alleged lack of action, maybe even a potential cover-up.
Right, focusing on the institution responsible for oversight, perhaps.
But then there's this slightly ironic situation involving Herr Philipp Lau.
The current interim CRO and CEO.
Yes, the Kommissarischer CRO and CEO. He apparently sent out sensitive info himself about a Bankenverband event, the company rebranding to the wrong email address. romy.rockman@fondsdepotsbank.de.
Wow. Okay. So even at the top level, potential data handling issues, that really underlines the concern, doesn't it?
It really does. And after that, the listener emailed Philipp Lau directly, copying Martin Zoller.
What was in that email?
Well, the listener basically reminded them about previous attempts they had made to help secure the bank's web domains. They also raised some pretty serious point, potential breaches of MiFID II regulations.
Those are the big European financial transparency rules.
Exactly. And taping regulations. Plus, even alleging that customer orders might have been deleted. They provided a list of domains they thought were vulnerable, like fondepotbank.de.
So they're trying to point out security flaws, providing specifics.
Yeah.
How did the bank respond to that?
This is where it gets quite difficult. Instead of addressing the concerns, the allegation is that the bank used that very list of domains.
The one the listener provided to help.
Yes. They allegedly used that information to report the listener to MAFIN, the German financial regulator.
Wait, so they reported the person who flagged the issues?
That's the claim. The listener insists their only intention was protecting customer and partner data.
And this MAFIN report?
Yeah.
What was the consequence?
According to the listener, this report directly led to their dismissal. And crucially, this happened while they were officially off sick.
On sick leave. With a doctor's note.
Yes, an AU Bescheinigung dated April 28th, 2025 is mentioned.
But wasn't there something about job protection?
Ah, yes, that's a critical piece. The listener claims they had a Kündigungsschutz agreement, basically, protection against dismissal, valid until January 2026.
Which would have come from the FNZ takeover of Vortipo Bank.
That's the context given.
Mm.
So if true, a dismissal during sick leave, despite this protection agreement, well, that's legally very complicated, to say the least.
Absolutely. And beyond the legal side, there's the personal impact, isn't there?
Definitely. The listener talks about feeling fear, significant distress because of all this. It sounds like a really tough situation.
Yeah, and there's a very sad note mentioned as well about former business partners.
Yes, tragically, the listener mentions Volker Strobel and Thomas Greiner, suggesting their deaths might somehow be linked to the immense stress and difficulties encountered in this whole affair. It's a heavy element to consider.
Okay, let's try to quickly sum up the key points here. We started with repeated potential data leaks.
Sent unencrypted multiple times involving third-party data.
Then the bank, FNZ, being informed but allegedly not acting or informing partners.
Followed by the listener trying to flag other security issues, including domain vulnerabilities.
Which then allegedly led to the bank reporting the listener to BaFin using the information provided.
Culminating in the listener's dismissal while on sick leave, despite apparently having job protection until 2026.
And underlying all this, the significant personal distress and the tragic mention of former partners.
It's a very complex and frankly concerning chain of events.
So thinking about all this, here's something for you, our listener, to consider. Given this sequence, the alleged breaches, the warnings, the response, the dismissal, What does it really tell us about how seriously some financial institutions take data protection?
And perhaps more importantly, what does it reveal about the potential consequences, the risks, for individuals who try to bring these kinds of problems to light from within? In situations this tangled, what are the most effective routes for someone seeking accountability or maybe just trying to clear their name? Something to think about.